Welcome to Tori Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Hei, Chapter 5. We are in the middle of a group of prakim dealing with Yirmiyahu's prophecy during the time of King Yoshiyahu. In the previous two prakim, Yirmiyahu drew starkly contrasting pictures of the future of the Jewish people. In one, they are heralded towards redemption, joined by the 10 exiled tribes, beloved by God, and exulting in peace, prosperity, and unity. In the other, the drums of war beat ever louder, and an enemy comes down from the north and destroys them and their land until all is lost. It is up to the people which road will they go down. Will they be able to thoroughly change their idolatrous wave and cleave to God? Will they be able to dig down deep and really eradicate the idolatrous practices, not just from the public square, but from behind closed doors and the walls of their hearts? Will they be able to let go of a way of thinking that has been ingrained in them for the past 60 years, a way of thinking that tells them that there are many powers in the universe and man must placate all of them through sacrifice and cultic ritual, but leaves no room for true service of God? In Perek Hei, Yirmiyahu was wandering around the streets of Jerusalem looking for a person, just one person, who in this person's merit, the city of Jerusalem can be saved. Rav Benny Lau compares this wandering to Avraham Avinu, who argued with Hashem on behalf of Sodom, looking first for 50, then 40, then 30, 20, finally 10 people who could protect the city of Sodom in their merit. Here, Yerushalayim seems worse than the historically evil city of Sodom. There isn't even one. Abarbanel can't imagine that Yirmiyahu wants us to take this pasuk literally. Is there really not one moral and righteous person in the entire city? Instead, Abarbanel explains that the person Yirmiyahu is looking for is one who doesn't only do moral acts on his own, but protests immorality when he sees it. Yirmiyahu, the boy from Anatot, enters Jerusalem, the heart of the Jewish people, the place of the Beit HaMikdash, and cannot find one person there who is willing to be a leader. Willing not just to do justice, but to stand up for justice. This is what happened to the holiest city. We could ask, how did this happen? How could it be that even Yerushalayim became so corrupt that the people who are genuinely good are content to exist only within their personal lives and not reach out to the general population? I think we need to understand what the world of idolatry is actually like. People think of idol worship as sterile, bowing down to an idol or giving a sacrifice. Instead, idol worship involved some of the most base behaviors that a person can do. Killing in cold blood, especially children, and sexual promiscuity were not only tolerated, but they were part of the rituals themselves. The gods did not demand of the people anything besides for ritual worship. There was no such thing as mandated morality from the god. The gods did not care if you were kind or cruel, only that they got their meat and that the ritual was performed. Only Hashem desires the soul. Only Hashem demands that their service of Him include not just rituals, but how they treat other people, how they act in judgment, if they are honest in business, how do they act in the marketplace. This is the kind of person that Hashem honors. Yirmiyahu walks around Jerusalem that is seeped for years in idolatry and sees that it affected not only their relationship with Hashem, but their whole societal order, their whole moral order is corrupted as well. Just one person. One person who is Oseh Mishpat, Mivakesh Emunah, acting justly and seeking integrity. But that person is elusive. Yirmiyahu thinks perhaps he was looking at the wrong group of people. Perhaps it was too much to expect a simple person to be the one who stands up for morality. These people are guided by their leaders. It's actually a leader's job to get the people to actualize their best selves, to run a society in a way that's fair and honest. So in verse 5, he decides, Elchana, Elchali, El Hagdolim, Badabraltam, let me go to the great people, those that are wise, wealthy, the people that, someone can look up to. Kehema yadu derech Hashem, mishpat Eloheihem. Surely they know the way of Hashem, the rules of their God. They want what's best for the people. Surely they will listen to Yirmiyahu's message and take the opportunity not only to save the people from destruction, but also to construct a better society, one that sees that there is a better way than for each person to seek only his or her own good. There is a better way, a society that cares about its weak people. The system of idolatry steamrolls over the weakest in society, sacrifices the babies, and esteems only the ones that can bring the fat cows to sacrifice, no matter how the money was gotten to buy the sacrifice itself. Yirmiyahu is giving the leaders a gift of a society that can not only survive, but can be good. But Yirmiyahu is sorely disappointed. Achema yachdav, shavru ol, Nitku Mose wrote. But they as well had broken the yoke. They had snapped their bonds. The leaders who were tasked with leading a society upwards towards a good and moral life, building bonds between people and God, had decided to give up on God as well. The ordinary people and their leaders are united in rejection of Hashem. Yirmiyahu pleads with them, tells them of the punishment that's coming, but they laugh him off in verse 12. Kachashu ba'adonai vayomru lohu lo tavo elinu ra'ah v'cher v'ra'ah lo nir'eh. They've been false to Hashem, and they say, it's not true, no trouble shall ever come upon us. We shall not see sword or famine. Yirmiyahu proclaims that a society that does not protect all of its people, a society that is not built on ethics, does not deserve to survive. We go back to the story of Avraham Avinu facing Hashem over the destruction of Sodom. Are there not 50 good people? Avraham pleads. God answers, in the merit of 50 good people, I will save the city. But there are not. Finally, when Avraham hears that there are not even 10 righteous people, he withdraws his request. A city without a quorum of righteous people does not deserve to survive, even according to Avraham. Avraham himself stands as a symbol of everything Sodom is not. He welcomes guests freely into his home. He takes in his nephew and invites him to travel with him, seeks the peace of the surrounding countries, and spreads the message of God's word to the world. Avraham's chosenness story comes right in the middle of the story of the destruction of Sodom. It actually interrupts the story. Right before Avraham argues with Sodom in Bereshit Perek 18, there is an aside in the Psukim, and Hashem tells the reader why Avraham must be the chosen one. Hashem amar, hamachaseni me'avram et asher ani oseh. Hashem says, could I possibly not tell Avraham what I'm about to do, about to destroy Sodom? Ki yedativ, because I know him. Laman asher yitzaved banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat. I know that Avraham will not only do justice and righteousness, but he will command his children after him to do it as well. He will set up a society that's righteous, that does justice. Laman hevi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber elav. And this is how I can bring about to Avraham all the good that I've promised him, because of this quality. It is almost like Hashem has to establish that there is an antidote to Sodom in the world before he destroys it, that not everyone will just end up as their worst selves. Avraham will not. He will not just be a person who seeks justice, but he will instruct others in the ways of God, which is the ways of justice in society. Yirmiyahu condemns a society that has given up on their entire reason for coming into being. As he wanders around Yerushalayim and can't find one moral person, he sees that the ways of Avraham have been lost. He describes them in verse 28. Shamnu ashtu gamavru divrei ra, din lo danu, din yatom v'yatzlichu, mishpat avyonim lo shafatu. They've become fat and sleek. They pass beyond the bounds of wickedness, and they prosper. They will not judge the case of the orphan, not give a hearing to the plea of the needy. The people are living in their beautiful land, prosperous and wealthy. But instead of taking their wealth and building a society that cares about the poor, that cares about the weakest members of society, they have enough money to take care of them, but instead of caring about them, they build on their own wealth by taking advantage of the poor, by ripping off the weakest people whenever they can. And then, when Yirmiyahu tells them that their society is headed barreling towards destruction, they wave him off. We're completely in control, they say. Nothing can touch us. The ideology of idolatry backs up what they're saying and allows them to feel in control, allows them to feel just fine, stepping on anyone they need to on the path to even more prosperity. Yirmiyahu, wandering the streets of Jerusalem, talking to the leaders and hearing them say all is well as long as they are prosperous, they're not changing, searching for the one person who fulfills the mandate that Avraham Avinu left for his descendants, searching for a nation that can still be the anti-Sodom. But finding instead a nation that looks more like the ancient destroyed city than a people who is supposed to stand against it. Yirmiyahu in this perek stands up for the weakest people in the society and tells the leaders that it's not okay to act how they're acting. It's not okay to just take your wealth, use it for yourself, and even oppress the poorer people. That's not a society that deserves to stand. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.